Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that something simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. Today, we welcome Kate Porosinian, COO and self-proclaimed Director of Everything Else at Unscripted Interior Design. Kate is co-principal of the Colorado-based design firm, along with her sisters, Carrie and Casey. In this episode, Kate shares how an aha moment among sisters turned into a thriving design business built upon a foundation of trust and team culture. We dive deep into the value of leveraging experience and skills from a previous career to create a balanced business and a safe place to ask questions and thrive. Kate also shares their approach to model home and amenity space design and their responsibility to their builders and developers to create environments that appeal to not just one client, but an entire demographic. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsors. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, and more locations coming soon, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today and tell them that you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. This podcast episode is also sponsored by Design Manager, the design trade's most reliable project management, purchasing, and accounting platform for interior design professionals. The business of design is complex and requires solutions developed specifically for our industry. Design Manager has spent years responding to the needs of the interior design community and continues to deliver innovative tools to manage your design business with efficiency and profitability in mind. Visit designmanager.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial to explore and experience all that Design Manager has to offer. And now, our conversation with Kate Porosinian. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. So Kate, welcome to the podcast. It is so great to have you.
Thank you, Rick. It's so great to be here this morning.
I'm looking very forward to our conversation.
Same. Yeah.
You guys have a great story. Your design company has a really interesting backstory that I'm dying to talk about. But before we dig into that and all the business stuff, let's talk about you for one second, because I like to introduce my guests to the listeners so we get to learn a little bit about you. So tell us about your role in the business and then just a little bit about you personally.
Wow. Okay. So my name is Kate Porosinian. I have the world's craziest last name, but I married it. So I'll blame my husband for that one. Let's see. I am one of the principals of Unscripted Interior Design, and my title is Chief Operating Officer, but I affectionately like to refer myself as the Director of Everything Else. So, I help with some back office logistics and contractual pieces. A lot really of my role is more marketing and sales focused. But I'm really the people person. So I'm talking to people in the market space, but I'm also talking to my staff that I love dearly. And personally, I'm married. My husband Cameron and I have been married for over 17 years. We have two children, Emerson and Beckett, 13 and 10. I have a dog named Cooper Bradley, and he has dreamy green eyes like his namesake. And my children don't know, but on Christmas morning, they are getting a puppy, a little girl. So Cooper Bradley is going to have a gaga lady. So this is going to be exciting.
That is amazing. And the good news is this podcast airs in the new year, so we won't spoil the surprise.
Yes. So that's a little bit about me. And I'm super involved with the Enneagram community. That's like a passion point of mine, personal development and training, coaching. That's an education is, my heartbeat, and bringing that into the business has been a total honor and gift for sure.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you being kind of the face of the company today. I want to jump right into the structure of the business, because mm-hmm. then that'll explain a lot of the storytelling that will happen from this point forward. So Unscripted Interior Design, you guys are a model home, commercial, residential interior design firm based in Colorado, mm-hmm. and it's run by three sisters. So tell us a little bit about that, because that's what I'm really excited to share, because I've talked to a lot of design professionals and mm-hmm. we've tossed around a lot of different business models, but this is one that I haven't come across yet. And I'm really excited about it. I think it's cool.
Oh, thank you. So yes, we are a multidisciplinary design firm. We are, our headquarters, our HQ is in South Denver. We also have a design studio in Southern California, and we have boots on the ground in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We do work in over 20 states. I think we file sales tax in 23 or 24 states, something crazy. God bless my sister, Casey. So yes, we are a family-owned company, three sisters, my best friends and co-conspirators, Carrie, Casey, and Kate, the three of us. My eldest sister, Carrie, is our chief executive officer, but she's really the captain of all things creative. She's just this creative genius. She's brilliant and wonderful to the core. And my middle sister, Casey, is our chief financial officer, and she has a really strong background in finance and decades of business acumen in that space. And my background is sales and marketing in the big beauty brand space. And so in 2015, Carrie was the sole owner of our firm. And she had these two holes in the company where there was almost like a revolving door in these positions. She had multiple controllers, financial people within her firm, high turnover, same with a business development, so sales and marketing, and really great people she had worked with in terms of good humans, but just not, you know, her people. And I think that the company had grown to a point where, you know, she was wearing so many hats, and her strength was obviously creative, and the limitations of shifting her focus to things like business development or, you know, financials, you know, you're spread too thin and you can't be good at everything, right? You have to surround yourself with good people. And I think it started with a reach out to Carrie, Casey, and I, just saying, you know, sisters, I need you to jump on board. And so we bought into the company and really were able to undergird her dreams and goals and expand the empire, so to speak, to really new markets and new territories and new opportunities. But I think the main point is that we deeply respect and love each other. And there's this safe space within our company. I mean, I think the driving theme is that my mom would kill us if anything happened between the three of us on Christmas morning, right? So it was, okay, like first and foremost, we're family. And that is very real. We adore each other. We spend time outside of the company with each other. We are each other's best friends. It's such a miraculous, beautiful dynamic. But I think it's rooted in mutual respect and love. And so because of that, we're able to do really great things together, because we trust each other. With such a high trust environment because of that.
I just love that. I love the fact that, you know, you all embrace the reality and the importance of surrounding yourself with people that you can trust and who are talented. And we talk about that all the time, but we don't always look to our left or to our right, to our family or people that are very, very close to us who could potentially be those people and fill those roles. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to give a little more attention to that. What was it like for you, Kate, leaving
the beauty industry and doing what you had done for so long and transitioning into interior design, because it's not like all three of you went to design school out of high school and it was your passion and then finally your paths merged. All three of you were in different places in life and then, you know, that merge occurred.
Yeah. So I think for me personally, it was a large shift because I had been in that space for over 18 years and, I was an educator in that space. I was a trainer in that space. So I think being more of an expert position to essentially starting over into a new industry altogether. I think I came to the table with different ideas and perspectives because of my training outside of this world. So I think initially I you know, what happens is when we try new things, we have that self-doubt, right? That just kind of permeates all that we do. We question ourselves, we question our abilities, we question why we're moving in this direction versus trusting that these things are happening for a reason. And I think when I was in alignment, when I was aware of the fact that this is where I was supposed to be, that I could bring my background to the table and it could be a gift, right? And also tandem that with a lot of humility because I didn't know a lot about the industry. So I had fantastic friends. I made a lot of quick friends. I that just helped me out and learned quickly a lot of things I needed to. And I've always been a very curious person. So research is my jam. So I just dug in. But I think that I'm always learning. I'm always growing. I think once you stop growing, you're regressing, you're dying. So I think growth is an imperative to this journey that we're all on. And so it was, you know, I'm being totally transparent. I think there was definite moments of insecurity and self-doubt, but I think when I was reminding myself of, oh, like some of this background is actually for the benefit of this company. It's not all null and void, right? And so, and Carrie was always my champion. Oh my goodness. She was just so supportive. And Casey is brilliant. And so I think, you know, just having that constant morale, constant support was helpful. But yeah, there was a lot to learn. But coming from a different creative industry, I had such high value of this creative industry. Mm. And so I think that was a huge piece too. Just learning this is a different medium. Of brilliance and creative genius. And I am so honored to support and be a part of this community because it's just a fantastic world to be a part of.
It is such an exciting industry. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you know, had the courage to cross over into it and explore it with the support of your sisters. And I think that hopefully as other people are listening to this conversation on the podcast, you know, it'll reinforce to them that, you know, you don't necessarily have to come fresh out of the classroom from design school. You don't have to, there's so many facets of the design industry that you can contribute to and that you can leverage your knowledge from previous careers and contribute to a business in that way. You know, I speak to a lot of like design students at our design school, our local design school. I do a lecture during their certificate program, which is really just the intro to, and it's kind of your way of determining, is this going to be right for me? Am I really headed the right direction or not? And for so many of them, it's a second career. And they're telling me, well, you know, I was in marketing for 12 years, or I was in admin or operations for the last 15 years, or I ran another business for, you know, in a different industry. And I just don't think that there's going to be a place for me in design. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're perfect.
Right.
Do you know how many people need you?
Exactly. And your talents and authentically who you are. I just think that the risk is, risk taking is so important in this journey. And especially in a trend focused industry like design, you know, you need to try things. You need to push the envelope. You need to step out of your comfort zone. And I think that, Yeah, it's been such a privilege to be a part of this space. And I will say it's been a very welcoming community as well. Just very, I ask a lot of questions and start with, I'm super sorry if this is a dumb question, but, and you know, I think that people, if you value what they do and you respect what they bring to the table, that mutual reciprocity is always accessible, right? I just think that we're all trying to figure this thing out. And anyways, it's been a real gift to be a part of for sure.
That's awesome. So, I mean, obviously you're familiar with working on teams, doing what you did before. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite thing about working on being a part of this team now and working with your sisters? What is like the best part of that?
So, okay. I'm sure the designers on listening to this will maybe argue with me on this one, but I have the best team in all the land. We just have the most amazing humans on our staff. So the two things when I came into the company that were a huge value piece as I'm assessing our brand, right? Our brand was known for award-winning design, cutting edge design, what have you. So good design was imperative. And that was something that I found we couldn't necessarily teach. There had to be an innate sense of taste and an eye for this space called design. So as I'm vetting new clients, I'm vetting new candidates to work with us, you know, it's this space of, I can teach you a platform. I can teach you a software. I can teach you a process. I can't teach you how to have good taste, right? That's step one, good design. And then the second is I can't teach you how to be a good human. So I don't know what it is, but you know, some people are just motivated by different things. We are a trust-based firm. So I believe in my staff. I believe the best in my staff. And that is something that we should, I'm reminding them constantly, we assume that of each other. We assume the best thing, that I woke up this morning trying to do my best, right? And sometimes that looks different depending on what's on our plate, right? So there's grace and there's room for, we don't use failure language. We use win and learn language. So there's wins when things go awesomely, right? And then there's learns where we go, okay, that maybe wasn't our intention, but it landed where it was supposed to. And how do we pivot from here? How do we grow from here? And so the two things that we pride ourselves in is good design and good humans. And so that comes from how we interact internally and to how we present ourselves to our clients and not missing deadlines, not missing phone calls, getting back to people in a timely manner and valuing each opportunity, giving honor to each project. And so that stems honestly from the dynamics between the sisters. We have very different talents. We have very different strengths, but the core of who we are, integrity is just imperative. Who you are when no one is paying attention, you know? And so I think because of that, that being the foundation of our company, that is just permeates through our firm. And so the people that work with us right now, I am so privileged to say possess those attributes, and that's why they're on our team.
I love that. I think every design business should adopt that philosophy, that trust-based firm philosophy. I love that. You should make a t-shirt and hats.
Well, because I think if you don't have a trust-based space, right? A creative industry is a place where you need to have the freedom to take risks, the freedom to try new things, right? The freedom to explore ideas and create. And if you're in this toxic anxiety field, like us versus them culture, it just doesn't create room for people to bring their best creativity to the table, right?
For sure.
And I'm not, our firm is not perfect, but it's just reminding ourselves when we make, you know, mistakes or things happen not the way that we intended, that we assume that our partners internally, that their intentions were good. And if that is at the forefront and you assume the best in each other, it's just amazing how when you need grace, you know, you give grace and that reciprocal thing happens. And so I think, the trust piece is so important, not this hyper competitive, toxic, you know, us versus them. That just is not, it doesn't, from my experience, does not breed any true gift, any goal, any light, any, future vision, hope. It just doesn't. So I just think that, and creatives, we're so bad at staying in toxic environments. I don't know what that is, but it's, I don't know if it's self-doubt or just, we think this is the best that our life has for us. But if you're in a place where you are surrounded by people that just are not your people, get out, because that is not where you're supposed to be. It's just not. You're not going to bring your gift to this world in a place that's toxic. You're just not going to. So it's like, that's, I think, the thing that I've learned the most in my journey.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You're wasting time and talent and energy. It's just, there's no win to that situation.
We're taking a quick break to acknowledge our podcast sponsor, Sunset West, the design trade's premier resource for outdoor furnishings. Founded upon a family legacy of fine furnishings and a culture of excellence, the California-based company is dedicated to providing premium casual furnishings and personalized service to the design trade. Each distinct collection is impeccably designed with quality and comfort in mind, and handcrafted in premium finishes and materials that bring life and style to the outdoors. With over 20 collections to choose from in a variety of materials and styles, along with hundreds of custom fabric and COM options, Sunset West is your design partner for stylish outdoor furnishings. See the newest additions and collections at Las Vegas Market, January 23rd through the 27th, and join us for a special happy hour for Design Biz Survival Guide listeners on Monday, the 24th, from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Sunset West Showroom, Building B, Suite 162. See you there.
So let's talk about how this trust-based environment contributes to the work that your team does. So I know that you guys do a lot more than model homes and amenity spaces and sales office and clubhouses, but that's actually something that we haven't talked about much on the podcast. So tell us a little bit about that.
So our background, our heritage, our legacy is within the production home builder space. So we have deep roots and relationships with production home builders, publicly and privately held across the country. And so we started in the model home space, which is essentially a glorious, beautiful, design showroom for us, but it's really a sales tool for the production home builder. And from that, organically, we started a commercial studio because said home builders were needing amenity spaces like clubhouses and welcome centers, design studios, sales offices, and the like, and then maybe their corporate office. So it was a very organic reaction to what the market demanded in that space. And model homes are, it's a lot of times people don't understand what our role is. And it looks very different depending on the brand identity of the builder and maybe the brand identity of the master plan. But typically it's an opportunity for the designer to specify all the materiality. So we're doing flooring, we're doing any custom treatment. We're typically production homes have programs. So we're specifying particular cabinetry, whatever you can, if anyone on listening to this has gone through a new build with a production home builder, you've gone through the design studio process. And so our designers essentially do the same thing, and they specify and showcase the offerings of the builder to see this is what your home could look like, which creates this 3D experience for the consumer to see how could I really live in this environment? Because, the average person, they don't really read blueprints well. They don't read floor plans like we do. We assume that people do, right? So when they can walk into a space and they go, oh, I have this je ne sais quoi, like they feel something, what is this? And it's this experience that they're providing. And so from that yields sales, obviously, for the home builder, but from our designers, it creates an opportunity to showcase in a very quick timeline, really cool design opportunities. So which is really cool. And then from there, that model home space, like I mentioned, we merged into the commercial market initially with just amenities and sales offices. Eventually, we tapped into more hospitality, retail, office space, and multifamily. And for years, under wraps, we did some custom residential projects. And that was very, I'm going to be honest, reluctant, because dealing with the public is so different than dealing with, you know, developers and production builders. It's not as personal of a project. It's more market-based research in terms of process. It's not as emotional. And so we did do a couple select projects here and there for dear friends and family, where we said, don't tell anyone that we do this for you. And then eventually we aligned ourselves with the right leadership, and we blossomed into this other sector. And so now, yeah, we do custom residential as well. So that's, you know, new builds, tear downs, remodels. We specialize in full space design, full build design, just because what we bring to the table with that merchandising layer with models, you know, when people walk in, they're like, they don't know how to put together, you know, their cocktail table. They don't know how to, you know, accessorize their built-in. And so we do that every day, you know, across the country, and have for a long time. And so that whole hashtag Shelfie world, we're pros at that. And so for the everyday consumer, we know how to bring that layer that creates that lifestyle piece that's personal and feels finished and full. And that, I think, is a big distinctive of our company for sure.
I'm glad that you brought up that custom residential and more commercial model are two very different, you know, approaches to design. Because I think that that really needs to be clarified. And I've seen it firsthand, because I've surrounded myself with some commercial design firms that do models and that sort of thing. And I've always done custom residential. And it is a completely different beast, from the buying power to the warehousing and inventory that you have to maintain, all the way down to, like you said, the client expectations. Because, you know, on the model side, or when you're working with builders and developers, it really is all about that research and demographics and who's going to walk through the space, and even where it's located, and the story of the community and its surroundings all has an impact on designing. Whereas with residential, it is so very personal, and there's a whole other laundry list of things that have to be taken into consideration. So they're definitely not the same thing.
No. And having, we have four design directors that work with us, and I, again, that mutual respect, they all want to stay in their lane and have no desire to do what the other one does. They're just like, you're crazy. How do you do that? No, thank you. And so it's, again, we have the best people, but I think to your point, it's a very different process and a very different end result. And so in terms of brand continuity, it's this overall sense of we're constantly trying to push our staff to do the thing that hasn't been done before. So our brand name, Unscripted, the intention of that was to say that we don't have a look. We don't have an aesthetic. You know, there's tastemakers like a Kelly Wurstler, who's just a genius, right? But you would never go to Kelly Wurstler and show her a Joanna Gaines image and say, can you do a home like this for me? Like, that's just asinine. Nobody would do that. So what I feel like we bring to the table is we can do very traditional, and new traditional is becoming so popular right now, but to very, very contemporary or very, very modern. And what's exciting about that is we constantly are pushing our staff to do the thing that isn't comfortable for them too. It's always a designer's challenge. And when we have such diverse opportunities within our company, it creates, you know, these just challenges for them to do the thing that hasn't been done before, because each opportunity should be given that level of respect, right? This is a new project. So let's not duplicate what we've done before. Let's do the thing we haven't done. Could we try that a little differently? And so that cross opportunity between departments is really helpful, because they're seeing different things. They have access to different things. So it's really just empowers each other, even though they're doing very different processes. There's mutual respect again with, okay, I can learn from this space and try to do something different, but in alignment, right? So
yeah, I think that's the beauty of being a part of a team. I know that so many design professionals, you know, they love being entrepreneurs, they love running their own businesses, and a lot of times they're one-man shows and they outsource a lot of things. But being in that office and that creative environment with a team of people, and just the amount of creativity that you'll see surrounding you that you just don't have if you're working solo. It's so amazing.
And you know, Rick, I think with COVID, we've had to definitely pivot and try new things in terms of collaboration that's looked different, that looks differently. And I think everyone can testify to, you know, this is a totally different world that we're living in. But I think for the designer who is an entrepreneur, who's a one-man operation, you aren't an island. There are people out there that you can partner with. So there's other sub-consultants. There's people within your design communities, even your quote unquote competitors or frenemies. Like, they're not. There's so much room at the table for everyone. And I'm such a believer that putting that information out there will always come back to you. And so supporting your fellow designer could create this really beautiful opportunity for your own growth. And interestingly, during COVID, we partnered with two other quote unquote competitors in our market. And we would meet every Friday at 4:30 for a Zoom happy hour because we were all on lockdown, because we were all navigating really unknown waters with COVID. But it really blossomed into this beautiful friendship and support with people that we never really would have hung out with before. And we all learned so much, but more than that, we became friends and we realized we're not in this alone. And I just think if you are a one-man operation, find the creatives that you respect, reach out to them, create networking opportunities so that you can grow yourself. Don't be threatened by what they're doing, learn by what they're doing and share with them what you've learned. It will always come back to you. And I just know creativity, it dies on that island if you're alone. You need to surround yourself with others that are brilliant like you, right?
It is community over competition, baby. It's community over competition. That's the definition of it right there. I'm going to take you back just a minute because you had mentioned that you have four design directors, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about your office structure. So you mentioned that you have four design directors in your office, and I would imagine that each one of them kind of oversees specific design styles, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Is that correct? Can you break that down for me?
Yeah. So we have two directors of model merchandising. So they're the ones who oversee the production builders, relationships and developers, and they have different books of businesses. They work with different clients, and those clients, you know, build in different territories. And so they have their own teams, their own design teams, and they're brilliant. Wendy and Kimberly, they're just an interesting fact. Kimberly was a sorority sister of my sister's at Long Beach State. Wow. And she and Wendy started their careers at a firm in Southern California that Carrie started at. So there's over 20 years of relationship there. So that is, they're really special people to us for sure. And then our commercial studio is overseen by a woman named Sven. She's brilliant and hilarious. And she, loves all things hospitality. She has an illustrious career and just well-recognized and award-winning projects in her background. And so she oversees that book of business, and she works across the country with many different, oh my goodness, that woman works with so many different types of clients, from that production builder space all the way to, you know, larger multifamily land developer hospitality. And then Erica, our director of custom residential, she is just the shining star. She's just a wonderful person. She's creative. She's a Colorado native, but she lived in LA for over a decade and had a firm, custom residential firm there and a store. And then relocated back to be by family as she got married and had kiddos. And so, so they all oversee different books of businesses, and different teams. There are times during, you know, I will say right now, December has been a cluster. Can I get an amen? And so because of that, we have been all over the country twice. And so we've been definitely stealing designers from different teams to help support installs. And that's the beauty of our firm, that they all love each other and they want to help each other out. And it's a great reprieve to be at a different team's install because it's a different process. So they get to learn and come back to their team and say, oh my gosh, they're crazy. But it's awesome at the end of the day. So yes, that's what our four directors oversee and do.
So Kate, we have some signature questions here at the podcast. And so my first question to you is, what would you say is the secret to your survival in the business of design? Like, what keeps you going in this business?
So I will say, as a firm, survival stems from being nimble. I think that you have to be open-handed and open-hearted and open-minded, because things change, things shift, culture shifts, right? Trends change. So if you're not open to change, if you're not open to the new thing or something that might feel kind of uncomfortable, if you're not open to those things, there's a point where you can become irrelevant. And so there has to be a willingness to change, to grow. And so, I think that is something that we really value internally. And it's seen in our projects and it's seen in the quality of our staff. But I think being nimble to on a business strategy to what the market is needing. And so how can we create solutions for our partners? How can we create opportunities for our clients? And how can we create solutions for our projects and our connections? And then personally, inspiration is such a broad term. It looks very different depending on who you are, what makes you what makes you tick. And so I think just in my life journey, I have realized that you are biologically created to take care of yourself. Actually, like your body knows what you its goal is to protect yourself, to survive, right? So there's this survival piece that we all have internally, and it's that voice inside of us. And we are so good at not listening to our own voice. We're so good at looking externally for answers, looking for someone else to validate us. And in that process, we can lose ourselves. And so I think to be inspired, to stay in this space, you have to show up as yourself. And I think that's really, really hard to do for a lot of us. It requires a lot of self-awareness. It requires a lot of work. But I just know when you show up authentically as who you are, the world will be a better place. We need one of you because there's only you. We need you to be you. And so you have to ask yourself really good questions, hard questions, right? But I think that is how you stay engaged in this space, is authentically showing up.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is such a good answer. And it's so true. My mind is spinning because you're right. Like, just, you've got to show up as who you are. And if you don't do that, then you're doing yourself a disservice and those around you. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to build and create this relationship professionally and creatively with other people, you don't want to waste that time being something that you're not. It goes back to that whole time wasted. Just be who you are from day one, because you know that's what you want to be accepted as and embraced as, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
So good. So good. And what would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then? So let's go back to 2015. It's the one thing you know now that you wish you knew in 2015.
I already touched on it, but again, I wish I showed up fully as myself in 2015. Mm-hmm. I was so insecure about what I didn't know. And instead of seeing that as an opportunity for growth and just like, that's okay, there's a learning curve here, right? But there's so many brilliant people in the room who have the answers, who want to help me out, who want me to succeed. And also that I can come to the table with my own offerings, my own self. And I think that I wish I wouldn't have neutered part of myself in those first couple of years, because I think I was just in that, you know, head down learning phase of like, I have to prove myself. I have to show up. I mean, I was working 80-hour weeks. It was crazy. And some of that was good because, you know, I've got grit and I can do what needs to be done. But it wasn't until a little further along to the process that I really was like, oh, actually, I'm really good at this. So let me talk about what I do. And then that really created different opportunities for our company. That really shifted our firm because of when I basically recognized one day that the things that I do bring to the table, my heritage, my training, my background, maybe, you know, someone's first career, those life lessons are just as needed in this context now. So how do I bring that to the table here? And how can I bring that wisdom to the conversation? So I was really proud of myself in 2015, because like I said, I worked my butt off, but more than that, I wish I would have been a little kinder to myself in that process. You know, and I think that's all of us. We are just our worst enemies sometimes. And and it's just like being, you know, loving ourselves, honoring ourselves, giving ourselves grace. It's just, oh, it's so hard. I mean, I have grace for days for other people and their shortcomings and, you know, missteps, but for myself, it's, I don't know what that is. And I want to get better at that. And I think that I'm on the path to do that, but it's a daily recalibration. Like, that's okay, Kate. That's okay. You know? And, yeah, that would be the biggest thing. And so again, I'm kind of preaching to myself here. It's, you know, authentically showing up as me and being okay with that. Right. And so, and I think anybody listening and you as well, Rick, you know, whatever your, what is 2022? This is the time that we're all setting intentions and dreams and, you know, vision boards and all the magic making, we're scheming and dreaming, you know, is there room for our full self in that? And are we giving honor to ourselves in that? And I just think that's something we need to really consider and make room for so that we can stay our inspired, creative beings, right? And if we're not in that healthy space, we're just going to create our own limitations.
So many people need to hear that. And so many people can relate to that. I think we can all totally relate to that because, you know, I remember being there as well. And I remember saying that exact same thing, you know, because design was a second career for me. I didn't know anyone or anything except what I learned in the classroom. And, you know, I remember telling myself, oh my God, look at all of this stuff that I don't know. When what I should have been saying is, look at this great opportunity and how much I'm going to learn. Mm-hmm. Like there's a different way of looking at it. And I had to learn that approach. It didn't happen right out of the box. Game changer though.
Yeah. And I think that curiosity, just being curious and being open and it's not, for some reason, it isn't natural for most of us to do that. And so kind of reprogramming our neural pathways to be kind to ourselves essentially and give ourselves room to try the thing and do the thing. And so I think that having a company where we want our staff to try new things and create risk, you have to be willing as a leader to do the same.
Totally. Totally. And how would you say that you pay it forward in the design community?
We are involved with multiple nonprofits that we contribute to, but I would say our time is one of the hugest things that we partner in. So whether that's education or that's boards, a couple of our staff are all deeply involved with the Home Builders Associations. Mm. We're members across the country in the National Home Builders Association. I am the current chair of the Sales and Marketing Council of the Home Builders Association of Metro Denver. Our director of BD is on the sales and marketing board in Southern California and in San Diego. I'm speaking in Orlando at the International Builder Show in a 60 and 60. It's a trend-based program. I think it's our time, our resources, and our creativity. So we do an annual trend report. We get that information out there to the masses. And it's just this open-handedness when it comes to information. So I think that is the best way that we can share what we've learned in our journey. And that's through teaching and partnering and collaborating and volunteering. Absolutely. Getting out there and volunteering to make our industry as best as it can be. So
amazing. Amazing. Well, Kate, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to, you know, speak with us today and kind of share the background of the business and a little bit about your background. And I just feel like we touched on so many great little nuggets of information and inspiration. And I really think that the listeners are going to get a lot from this conversation. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How do we learn more about Unscripted on Instagram, website? How do we find out more about you guys?
So we have a website, unscriptedinteriors.com. You can sign up for our trend report that comes out. You can join our e-blast list. But I would say our touch point for day-to-day shenanigans is definitely Instagram. So that's unscripted.interiors. And we always are posting all the things because our team, like I said, could be in 5 states at once. So it's a fun little journey to get the backstory of who we are. And we also have an information email that you can sign up if you want more information about us or want to reach out to any of our staff. Just go to unscriptedinteriors.com and click the information, the talk page, and you can get more information on a one-on-one basis.
Excellent. Well, thanks again so much. I hope that we can do this again. I actually hope that maybe we can all get together and maybe do a panel discussion and include Carrie and Casey. I think that'd
be fun. That would be fun.
I'm going to put that on my vision board. I'm going to add it to my vision board.
Oh, I like it.
Thank you, Carrie, so much.
Thank you, Rick. It's been an honor. Thank you so much.
Before we dive into our recap, I want to share a little bit about our podcast sponsor, Design Collaborative. A new approach to the showhouse concept that is elevating the way architecture, design, and lifestyle unite. The highly anticipated Desert Oasis Showhouse in beautiful Palm Springs, California, will open its doors to the public this February and is sure to be the talk of the desert. Collaborators in the design of this iconic home include Michael Berman, David Wood, John Feldman, Linda Ellen, Chris Barrett, Donna Johnson, Jenica Kurtz, Shannon Palmer, Jennifer Sampson, Huma Salomon, Amy Wax, and Maya Williams. To learn more about Design Collaborative and how to reserve your tickets to tour the Desert Oasis Showhouse, visit designcollaborativeusa.com. Now, let's talk about my conversation with Kate. It should come as no surprise to anyone listening that after we stopped recording, I begged Kate to adopt me as an honorary sister so I could be a part of their team of rock stars. What can I say? She had me at trust-based firm. Kate really reinforced how important it is to always keep an open mind and to never limit your options when it comes to growing your team. As your business grows and new lanes open up for key players, be sure to look to your left and your right. They could be sitting right next to you at the dinner table. It was especially nice to talk about model home design, an area of design that we haven't really covered much here on the podcast. Lots of great tips and advice on design approach and the nuances of working with production home builders. Thank you, Kate, for such valuable insight. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Design Biz Survival Guide. We love it when you share with a friend. We love it when you tag us on Instagram. And we love, love, love it when you leave a review on iTunes. So go ahead and make our day. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.